covenant. The covenant is a covenant or a contract of blessing. He said, when you plant the seed, you plant it with power.
Yes.
Because that power is there and it's in your life. You need to recognize it and you need to say, when I plant this seed, I'm planting it with the power to make wealth. And the power to make wealth, that's the multiplication factor in there between your seed and the harvest. Now, God had the ability in Genesis 1 to say, let there be, and instantly it was. Instantly it was created. Jesus needed tax money so that the Pharisees and the tax collectors wouldn't be offended, although he didn't owe the taxes. And he sent one of his men down. He said, catch the first fish, look in its mouth, and there you'll find the coin. Well, they took the coin out of the fish's mouth. And, of course, some of these men following him had been fishermen, so they understood that practice. But the coin was in the fish's mouth. They went and paid the taxes.
Yes.
When Jesus had 4,000 people follow him and another time 5,000 people following him, he said, we'll take care of that. And he took a little boy's lunch and multiplied that lunch and fed the flock, fed the people. Well, he had an instant miracle there. Now, we're made in that image and likeness. Why can't we see that when we plant a seed, we plant it with power to make wealth? Why can't we see that bringing us an immediate harvest? And I believe we can. I don't believe we have to just put it down, put it in the gospel and go away and forget it and say, well, you know, come see, come saw, someday it'll work. And if it doesn't work, I'll keep giving anyway because it's my tradition, because I've been raised to give. Folks, it's time to bring this word to accountability in our lives. And you see, the word of God is live and active and sharper than a two-edged sword. So every day the word is speaking to you saying, I've given you the power to make wealth. I've given you the power to get wealth. I've given you power to make wealth to confirm the covenant in your life. Well, when we don't rise up and believe, rise up and choose to believe, then we're operating in unbelief. And we're bringing mockery to our Heavenly Father. Because that unbelief negates the situation of multiplication on the seed. It negates the power that's trying to work for us, that power to make wealth. Well, we can't operate in two worlds. We can't be double-minded. We can't be over in the devil's system of managing our wealth and managing our lives and managing the debt. We need to get that spirit of debt out of our house and start sowing in complete faith, knowing that when we sow, we're sowing with the power of multiplication. That's the seed time for the harvest. Now, we've been given that, and in 2 Corinthians 5:17, and here, you really need to listen to this scripture. You need to write it down and meditate on it. It says, the old is gone, the new has come, and you've become a new creation in Jesus Christ. You moved into his image and likeness. Your awareness of that is being perfected in 2 Corinthians 3:18 that says, you move from image to image and glory to glory. And I like the illustration of the old-time Polaroid camera. You know, those things used to be big and monstrous and heavy, and you'd take the picture, and then you'd pull this thing out of the side of the camera, and then you peel off a film off of that thing, and inside was a bunch of gooey stuff. And if you stood there and you held that out in the light, in several minutes the image would appear and you would have a photograph. Okay, that was the first Kodak, I guess we'd call them instamatic cameras. All right, now God is trying to do the same thing with you. He wants more and more detailed image and likeness of who he is in your life. He wants to conform you to his image and likeness. And that happens through the repetition and the confession of the word. He doesn't want you to be like you used to be before you got saved. He wants there to be a change in your life. He wants you to have a new image, and that new image of the new creation, that's what he really wants for you.
I must add, when you were quoting 2 Corinthians 5:17.
You mean when I was butchering it? I didn't do well.
It does say at the very beginning of this verse, if any man is in Christ, if. That little word, Darren, means so much. And I believe sometimes when we say the sinner's prayer, we just say it, lip sync it. We really don't say it to heart, and I believe it has to be a heart change, like you were just saying. We've got to see a change in you. People around you got to see a change in you. If any man is in Christ, that little word if is very important because it says, if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. If you're not in Christ, if you're just playing games, you're not a new creation. And so this thing doesn't apply to you, this sowing and reaping thing, if you're not in Christ. And in Christ means intimately acquainted. That means as I hear the word, my intention is to obey the word. That is so important. Darren, that's foundational here in this whole teaching. It's foundational that we know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We know him in fellowship of his suffering. We know him in the power of his resurrection. But really, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come.
You know, in Genesis 1, and if you haven't read that for a while, folks, you need to go back and read it. But in Genesis 1, 26 through 28, God said, "Let us go down and make man in our image and likeness." He goes on to say, "I want you to rule, subdue, and dominate the earth." How do you do that? Well, when it comes to seed planting, you need to dominate that seed in the time frame with the power to get wealth. You have that power as well as the privilege to sow seed time and harvest. You need to know that going in, that you're planting that with power, and that power is the part that brings a multiplied harvest. So we need to do that. We need to realize, well, if I get my true identity straight, there's some things that there's certain rules that I will go by and certain demands. This I will do, that I won't do. This I will tolerate, this I will allow. There's some things I disallow. I won't allow them to operate there because that's not me. You see, going up to Blackhawk, which is west of Denver, there's a new gambling community up there. And the biggies are starting to get involved. In fact, just the other day I heard the Hyatt Hotel say they've got their casino up there. Well, that is not a temptation for me. That is not in me. It doesn't tempt me to go up there. I don't care if they serve me a ribeye steak for a dollar. You know, it's no temptation to go to that casino. That is not a part of me. So it's easy for me to forbid that when I see the ads on television or hear it on radio. I can forbid that and bind that away from myself. It's no temptation. Some of you still have one foot in the world. You need to get rid of that so that you have solidarity, so you have congruence with the Lord. That's why we put out these packs of scripture cards by the thousands, so that you can turn to your area of need and you can build up the inner man of the heart with the Word of God. So then it's easier for you to deny lust or deny gambling or deny drugs or deny alcohol, deny unfaithfulness. Deny that. It's easy for you then to not get on the internet and look at the sex sites because you're congruent with Jesus. See, there's nothing in you. You have died to sin. You're alive to him. You're going to live with him. And I'll tell you, that affects your sowing and your reaping.
It really does. And Matthew 6 says, you cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and riches. And you remember, Darren, in Luke 8, soil number 3 was the soil in which people go their way and they get caught up with the worries of the world, the riches, and the pleasures of this life.
Just give us those three kinds of soils. You have such great grasp on that.
Well, there are four kinds of soils, and we've mentioned that. And those beside the road that have heard, and then the devil comes and immediately takes the word from their heart so that they may not believe and be saved. And so these are people that have heard the word, Darren, but somehow the devil has taken and deceived them, and they are not saved. They're not born again. And I believe that's the situation of some people. Well, I thought he was a Christian. Well, this may be soil number one, where he did hear the word. He went with you to church, but the devil was taking away the word from his heart.
Or some of you have been in church for years, and you say, when is this preacher going to stop, you know, flapping his gums, let us out of here? After all, we got to get to the cafeteria. I mean, we're going to meet our friends at the cafeteria. Let's get this thing over with so we can get out of here.
Well, there are no more cafeterias in town, probably buffets or restaurants.
Buffets, whatever.
And then the second soil is the rocky soil. And those who hear it, they're jumping up with joy and they're praising God. And they're just flaky, absolutely flaky. They're loud, they're boisterous, they're talking the talk, but they're not walking the walk. And so when temptation comes, they fall away. Immediately fall away. They don't have any ground. And that's why I got a letter from one lady, one power partner. She's so precious. And she says, yeah, I can hear Barbara say, what scripture are you standing on? Well, that's why we ask that. What scripture are you standing on for your healing or for your miracle that you're desiring? Because we want to know if you have some root there, if you have some firm root. And the third soil are those that fell among thorns. And those are the ones that have heard, and they go their way. And they're choked with worries. That means that they don't stay around the fellowship. They don't stay around the people that are loving the Lord. They go out in the world, and they're caught up in what the Joneses have. They're caught up in the worries and the riches and the pleasures of this life. And their fruit brings no maturity, Darren. there is no maturity at all in this kind of soil, that are choked by the worries of this. Worry is a sin. We cannot be totally focused. I know some people that are